Hello, everyone. Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I am, of course, Angela Butler. Today's guest is Mr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Mr. Shabazz is the former president of the Black Panthers. So I believe he resided as president for 13 years. He's also the president, is the creator of Black Lawyers for Justice. How are you doing, Mr. Shabazz?
All right, my sister, how are you this afternoon? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Give me 1 minute. Let me get my phone right here, then I'll be happy to talk with you. Good afternoon to you. Give me
good
one second.
Good afternoon, sir.
Okay, I'm right here.
Yes, sir. It's good to have you on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
All right, Sister Angela.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for calling me, sister. Mr. Shabazz, when I first saw you, I saw you on YouTube, and then I saw you in the news media about all the killings and things that are going on here in the United States of America. But I assume you do too, that this isn't anything new to killing. It's been going on since slavery or after slavery. I'd like to know, what is your point of view of the killings of blacks here in America and also South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, sir?
I'm sick and tired of seeing black people killed. I'm sick and tired of seeing funerals. I'm beyond sick and tired of always having to talk and deal with black death. I want to deal with black life. And I want black people to have life and to have life more abundant. And that's why I'm passionate about what I do. That is why I've committed my life to seeing black people have a better life and having a more abundant life and ending the senseless killings that we see at the hands of our police department, the hands of the government that is over us, the hands of white racists and supremacists, in the hands of our own community. I'm tired of seeing black blood and on the ground, and black bodies, black funerals, and black mothers in pain and suffering. I'm sick and tired of it, and that's why I'm on this phone tonight. That's why I've taken time out to do this interview. That's why, my dear sister, I'm organizing for October the 10th in Washington, D.C., and saying everybody on the sound of my voice to join me, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and our elder and convener, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and hundreds of black organizations, and hundreds and thousands of black people who are tired of black death, and they want justice and a better way of life for black people. That's why I'm up in here this afternoon.
I understand that. Okay, I know. I interviewed the ladies from the NAACP in Charleston, Carolina. She was Miss Scott, and she was talking, you know, about the deaths and things, and she just said that she had to believe that something good would come out of their deaths. That will be changed because of them. Do you believe that?
Let's look at your statement. My dear sister,
sir.
Or let's look at the statement that you gave, as you said that Ms. Dot Scott has given it to you.
Yes, I love
Ms. Dot Scott. I know Dot Scott. We have sat on town hall meetings and panels, and my brothers and sisters in the NAACP, we are family. But if she said to you she would hope to maybe believe that some good maybe could come out of this, that means we're leaving our future to hope, leaving our future to mere chance. And my dear young sister, we cannot leave the future of black people, the precious future of our lives, our family, our husbands, our wives, in the hands of hope and chance. Hope and chance haven't won anything.
Yes, sir.
Good. First of all, before we start talking about the good that could come out of the murder, of 9 of our brothers and sisters in a Charleston church, let's talk about how bad it is and stop glossing
over the
bad.
Yes, sir, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Let's hear with the fact that Dylann Roof and white supremacists are murdering our people. And that is horrific and a sign of the time. Before we skip over that so quick, because it's an ugly sore in America. One, they want to brush under the table quickly, like this is some aberrant white man or just some deviant from the norm. And hell no, this is a sign of the deep-rooted hatred and racism that currently exists against black people in the South and all over America. So let's talk about the hurt and the pain, and then I can talk about some good.
Yes, sir.
But the only good that could even possibly come out of this is the good that we do, not the good that we hope for. It's got
yes,
to
sir.
Be good that we do and plan and can see and feel. Ain't no mystery to it.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's just some we just being lied to and told fairy tale.
Yes, sir. Okay. The terrorist, Dylann Roof. In the courtroom, there was a man that didn't show his face, but I was watching it on TV on one of the 24-hour news stations. And they asked him to repent. Mr. Zane was on the show, too. And I'm not saying what they did was so much wrong, but he didn't really ask for forgiveness. You know what I'm saying, sir, Mr. Chavez?
I'm right with you, Queen. And that
sir.
Shows how sick we are. Here's a man that's not even asking for forgiveness. And we, the children of slaves, after having their most precious loved ones' lives robbed from them by wicked, racist, no lowdown, no good beast, a devil in human form, coming in the house of God to deceive even the very elect in the house of God, as it is written in the scripture, Reverend Clementa Pitney, one of our best, robbed his precious life, robbed the lives of the Emmanuel Nine, and this no good court system that exists there in that county, and a judge, others to even allow the proceeding was offensive and inappropriate and outrageous and offensive. Even allow the family to come in front of this murderer, this killer of their loved ones, to say anything to him shows you that things is how bad it is in America. Shows
so
you how deep rooted it is in America. He did not ask for forgiveness, and we should not be forgiven. And even my precious black family who uttered the words out their mouth, people you know who have been mentally and psychologically and spiritually and emotionally damaged. We cannot even necessarily credit what they have to say. They are suffering the effects of post-traumatic slavery and a black Holocaust. We as a people are a merciful and a kind and a loving people, but we have been robbed of our minds. Our minds have been altered. Our balance of sanity has been altered. So even when we say we would forgive someone for killing us and for killing our people, that statement cannot be trusted as trustworthy, as credible and reliable, simply because we are not in an adequate and a proper mental state to offer such forgiveness. There is no forgiveness for the bastards that kill our people. The only remedy for Dylann Roof is as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto him. That is the scripture. Scripture also says, as you have taken our blood over diet, you shall be given your own blood to drink like water. And as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto you. And Jesus saying the scripture, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He sowed the seeds of murder. He took the lives of 9. He only has one life. So he can only give up one life. For 9, it could never be equal. Texas. That means it must be eight left somewhere. I mean, we have to take a harder line and a stronger stand, my dear sister, in the hills of America. That's why went to Charleston. That's why I went to Charleston. And that's why we turned the tables. Let me tell you about the good, young lady.
Yes,
the good is that when everybody was apologizing or being forced to apologize or being bullied by the mayor and others to apologize, and when the Uncle Toms were making a mockery of the death of these people, the good is that Attorney Shabazz and other revolutionaries, the New Black Panther Party, Brother Shaquem, Brother DeMond, Sister Denise, others on the ground, that we had already been working since the Walter Scott situation, working the ground, that truth came to Charleston. Truth came to Columbia. And so you saw, on one hand, after the murder of our people, nothing but apology and forgiveness for the murderers of our people who hadn't even been asking for it. White supremacist groups seeking our death, burning our churches everywhere. We went from that till July 18th in Columbia, South Carolina, where history was made. And as they came out to support the Confederate flag, the masses of blacks came out to support the red, the black, and the green. A massive red, black, and green rally on the steps of the capital of South Carolina. And the tone and the temperature changed. And nobody was out there forgiving the Klan. As a matter of fact, sister, what I saw on the TV set was Ku Klux Klan getting their behind beat all over Columbia, South Carolina, at the state capitol. So if there is any good that comes out of it, you can see now that God have blessed a message and a movement to come that is making things much stronger in South Carolina. All praise is due to Allah, my sister. That's
yes,
the good. The good that come out of something is the good we organize and make and the stand we take.
Yes,
but we can't say that some revolution is coming to South Carolina, and it's only the beginning.
Okay. I pray so. So as we both know, the black men and women that have been either beaten, because there were some women beaten, that's been shown on TV, and I believe one was killed. What is your advice for unarmed black men and women? I mean, nobody wants to take a life. So what is your advice? Is there a certain way you can approach the police? Well, not approach the police, but when they stop you for whatever they stop you for, infraction, they say, is there anything that a person can do not to be hurt by them or murdered by a police officer? Is there a rule or something that people don't know?
Well, you could never say that because you're on your best behavior that nothing would happen. I cannot say that credibly. Some people say that if Sister Sandra Bland would have just put out her cigarette or so forth, so that she wouldn't have been through her situation or circumstance. I'm not going to start blaming black people or blaming the victims or blaming persons who carry out ordinary or reasonable human acts during a police stop when many of the police stops are bogus and lead the average ordinary person that is stopped to be agitated. You know, a lot of times they agitate us during the stop for stopping us because you're profiling us. But I will say this. Our booklet and my booklet at Black Lawyers for Justice, it can be found on our website at blfjustice.org, www.blfjustice.org. What black people need to know when dealing with the police. What black people need to know when dealing with the police. It's online now. You can download it. Study it. We will send it to you. We must and have to become trained on how to deal with the police. We must know what to say and what not to say when the police stop us. We must have some knowledge of constitutional law and know some cases and know what our Miranda rights are and know what our rights are under search and seizure versus Terry v. Ohio. We must have some constitutional case law if we are to take advantage of this law, we must have some of that in our lexicon, in our knowledge. We must know what to do when stopped by the police. We say in my book, and I advise black people and our brothers and sisters to remember that when you're out dealing with the police, that you have to have a military mindset, that the police departments of the United States of America are a military operation. They have military training, and quite obviously they have military equipment, massive amounts of it. And so you as a civilian cannot act like when you're dealing with a military. And you as a civilian, particularly as a black civilian, one who a track record of hostility has been displayed through this at this particular so-called civilian ever since he became a civilian, which wasn't since 1865, and he hadn't even had his constitutional rights allegedly till 1965. And so what am I saying? We're not civilians. And we can't expect to be treated back like ordinary American civilians. We say approach your driving, your move on the street, approach your relations with the police as if you are a soldier, dealing with a soldier, and knowing that you are not on hostile or friendly territory, and you must be up on your legal knowledge, and you must be up on your rules of engagement. You must be respectful and courteous. If they are respectful and courteous to you, if they are not respectful and courteous to them, then you are no longer duty-bound by that law. But in all instances, we should try to let them make a fool out of themselves and not the vice versa. We should try to maintain professionalism when at all possible, when at all possible, unless it offends your dignity. We are taught in Islam, obey all laws that don't conflict with our religion. We obey all laws that don't offend our dignity. Because if it comes to the point where it offends your religious dignity, your moral dignity, your ethical dignity, then you may have to cuss their ass out, or you may have to fight in self-defense. If they're going to keep violating not only the American law and constitutional law and the state law and the county law, but then they're going to violate the law of God, then we have to throw down when it's time to throw down. But we try to avoid that at all costs. So when an officer, and as I close on this answer, if a police officer stop you, we're taught to keep our hands where they can be seen. We are taught that if you're going to make a move for your wallet or something to try to get your license, that you explain that to them first, what you're about to do, and get their clearance before doing it. So no one will say that you reached in the glove box or reached somewhere for a gun, and it happened that you had nothing at all, because we see we get shot all the time. Make sure you turn the engine off and that the car is not running, because stepping off of the brake, all of this is coming out in Volume 2, which we hope to have out by the time of October the 10th, Volume 2 of what black people need to know when dealing with the police. Oh, such an important subject matter. So there are a lot of rules. There are a lot of training. And I want to say this as I go further. I'm doing this kind of training on college campuses and in black communities across America. And as I tour for Justice or Else, and as I tour to push the mass mobilization in Washington, D.C. on 10-10, where I, by God's grace, will be doing police training before the masses and before the world on that day, doing police training. Everywhere I go, now I'm doing police training. And I want y'all to contact Attorney Shabazz. I don't want to see y'all die. I don't want to see you bloodied on the highway. I don't want to see our people killed. I want to see y'all become soldiers, knowledgeable of the law, and stay out of the death trap of these police. So we have to first handle ourselves like soldiers. Respect the soldier of the opposing army, even if he's from the opposing army. The Russians and the Americans and all kind of opposite forces deal with each other on battlefields across the world based on mutual rules of international law and protocol. And so it's a lot to be said. It's a lot to be taught, my dear sister, on how to deal with the police. You cannot deal with a wild, angry beast in any kind of way. You have to know how to handle that beast. And it ain't no easy thing.
Okay. I know. I've been pulled over a couple of times where I live at, but I'm not going to go into that. A question that I would like to ask, as we both know, they're killing the young people, not just the older people. There are some women who are being murdered, but I don't think the women are making the news like killings of the black youth and the black men. But isn't this what segregation was like? Because I was born in 1970. I'm not as young as you think. They're killing our teachers, such as Trayvon Martin, Martin Brown Jr. That's only two out of God knows how many dead black people who did make the news. This is what they did. My grandmother used to talk about it. My granddaddy used to talk about it. And this is what they did in segregation. I got a history class when I was over my grandmother. And this is what they were doing then, such as killing black children or murdering the children, like Emmett Till. He's the most famous example. For minimal, obscure reasons, they killed him, Emmett Till. He was a child. He wasn't a fully grown man. Supposedly whistling at a white woman or something like that. That's what they're doing now. To me, that's the way I see things. It's horrible. I mean,
You're saying that this is like a deliberate effort now to kill us off.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And what I want to say to you, my dear sister, is that is not far-fetched. I just got through watching CNN when even the white people were saying it just seems like every week an unarmed black man is being killed by the police.
Unarmed. Yes, sir. That's another thing. All unarmed.
This is worse now than ever. They are killing us on a weekly basis. And really, they have been doing it. It's just the technology has caught up and start filming these people. Normally, they would just kill us and lie. They lie, 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 lie. These white police officers are liars and murderers from the beginning. From the beginning of when? From the beginning of time that they came to get us in 1555 from Africa. They have been killing us with impunity, man. And I'm telling you, it's reaching the boiling point. There's going to be one difference between this time and the civil rights movement. I'm trying to tell you, black people are fighting back. And if you saw them in Ferguson, we're fighting back. If you saw them in Baltimore, they are fighting back. If you see them in Columbia, South Carolina, they are fighting back. When you hear them talking about justice or else, they are in a mindset right now to fight back. And so they can do what they want to do. It's going to be a showdown of the wills in the hells of North America. And right now, all of this killing seems to be having a major effect on waking our people up. And so I say to every black man under the sound of my voice, every black person under the sound of my voice, every black youth under the sound of my voice, I say black lives matter. And black lives matter now more than ever. With white police officers and law enforcement and Klan just outright killing our people. I'm talking to you, rolling 100 gangsters, rolling 60 gangsters, rolling 90 Crip. Los Angeles, California. Say they're going to have 100 days and 100 nights of killing, 100 straight. A body going to drop every night. Which body going to drop? The body of your enemy? Or the body of a black person in the black community. They say they don't care whether they gang member or civilian. 100 bodies in 100 nights. Hold on, man. Hold on.
Hold on.
All of you out there in Baltimore, after Freddie Gray's murder, black-on-black murders littering the streets of Baltimore, hold on, black people. You've been robbed out of your mind by the white man. You've been made to hate yourself and to think that you're an enemy because you were taught to hate black from the very beginning and taught that everything about yourself is ugly and negative. And you saw yourself being killed for so long, you think death is a way of life. Hold on, young man. we have to stop right now or else. And in self-defense, if anybody's got to die, it's got to be those that are killing us and nobody else. If black lives matter, and they do matter, then we have to dig in right now and go to work right away. Not just on these police. We have to dig in on these police all day. But we got to go into, we have to be in the black community right now. We have to be preaching, marching, organized to end the fratricide, the violence, and more so attack the socioeconomic conditions that produce the violence. We got a hell of a job to do, a multifaceted job to do. Either we do the job or we're going to be wiped out. And so right now, my dear sister, we're looking for those that agree with us, that want to organize with us. We say we have some solutions. And we say that there is good that can come out of this, that we can get a grip on this problem. No, I'm not hopeless thinking that the white man going to keep killing us every day. I'm reading the news, some of them being killed too. In the news. But what I'm also saying is that we have not maximized police patrols.
Okay.
We have not maximized police training. We have not maximized stop the killing. We have not maximized black fathers in the hood. We have not maximized turn the gang member to a self-defense unit. We have not maximized city council. Give me that damn money for the people and stop robbing. We have not maximized, Mr. State Government, you taxing our people. You controlling the budget that affects our people. We have not maximized the process to make sure that that money is adequately going to the black community and what it needs. We have not even maximized political struggle. We have not maximized a whole lot of, so there's a lot of work to do. There's no time for anybody to say, well, we could throw our hands up because we have not maxed out. All right? And so, once again, I'm driving a process right now where we're moving to max out on all our options.
Yes. October, I believe there's
October 10th in Washington, D.C. We're driving to max out on our options. Because once we max out.
Is it the anniversary? Is it the anniversary of the Million Man March?
The 20th anniversary of the Million Man March,
yes,
October
sir.
10th in Washington, D.C. The theme is justice or else. Justice or else.
Okay.
That means there's going to be a stopping point. That means there's going to be a disembarkation point. That means a line is about to be drawn. And I don't know about you, sister. I'm ready to draw the line. Are you?
Yes, sir.
I'm tired of the killings.
Yes, sir. I'm tired. But there's more than one way to discriminate against a person, keep them alive. I've been discriminated so much, it's not even funny. Sometimes I didn't even know I was being discriminated against. But I have a question. I was watching last year. This is way last year when things was, and I saw not 24-hour news station, a black lady. And she said she had to go back and talk to her son because it was not the American she thought it was. Do you believe that a year ago there were black people in that same state of mind that didn't realize that this was going on and that they were hated so just because they're black? Because she said
that
she had to go back and retry. That was on one of the 24-hour news stations, there was a lawyer who said she had to go back and retrain her sons and talk to her sons about America and what's going on in America. She said because she realized now that America is not what she thought it was, and she has to find a way to protect her children and let her children know what's going on, you know. And she said she must have had a naive view of things. Do you think there are a lot of black people like that who thought everything was okay?
All day, all night. There are black people and our parents. Our parents have not told us the truth. And in many instances, our parents didn't even know the truth. The difference now being that the truth is slapping us in the face when nobody can deny it. We have lived in a world of denial, and we have tried in every instance to avoid the cruel facts of what white America has been doing to us and the position that she has put us in, and how they have been denying us all along. I was called an extremist in my college years. I was called an extremist in the 1990s and all of these times. But now, with black bodies dropping everywhere at the hands of white police officers and white race, even in the era of a black presidency, now I don't look so extreme. And so what I'm saying to you is, our parents, we have to do as much education amongst the parents as we have to do amongst the kids. And so our whole nation needs re-education. That's why I want y'all to stay tuned with me. Our whole nation needs re-education. Parents need to be re-educated. Children need to be re-educated. And right now, the brutality of the system is a best educator and a best lesson teacher. Our babies are seeing the Freddie Grays. Our babies are seeing the Tamir Rice. Our babies are seeing the Emmanuel Nine. Our babies are seeing racism and racist killing. Our babies are not growing up with positive opinion of this power structure. So this generation right now is right for complete constructive change. They're right to be talked to. They're right to be organized. Yeah, they are a fertile field for the laborer who want to work that fertile field. So it's good news, sister. It may be the best of times, worst of times. May be the worst of times, but it's also the best of times. Our
yes,
darkest
sir.
Our darkest hour can indeed become our finest hour. If we will organize, now we have to become organized. The complaining, the demonstrating, the protesting, all that's part of organizing. But we have to become completely, 100%, supremely organized in order to deal with this system and this society. That's what we're striving for. That's what Dr. Malik Shabazz is striving for.
Mr. Shabazz.
I'm out here. Ma'am?
Yes, sir. I just want to ask you, is there also going to be a boycott? Is there anything you'd like to say about a boycott?
Let me say this. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. How can we not? How can we not deal with these entities, these corporations and companies that are abusing our people? How can we not? And we already getting started right now. What we're doing right now, ma'am, is we are assembling a think tank. We are assembling our best minds and activists together so that we can reach a common consensus and a reasonable resolution on who we should black out, how we should black out, and explain to the people why we should black them out. We must have a holiday blackout. We must send Santa Claus packets. We must send this craze and this daze in this haze and maze of shopping gone wild. Buy at the white man's store gone wild. Go out here and spend all of our precious dollars with stores and entities that support police unions, that support the exploitation of foreign labor, that don't contribute back to the black community. And when we look around the black community, there's a whole host of suspects. Old Nike is a suspect. Old Walmart is a suspect. Many entities are suspects. So before I get to naming the specifics, I will only say that right now we are convening a think tank. I have been asked by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to give him my mind and my thinking and my planning for how the outcome of this mobilization could benefit our people. And so, therefore, I'm going to not be all over the map. I'm going to narrowly focus right on what I know the movement has been promising and talking about and hitting and missing, but have yet to nail the nail on the head, the hammer on the nail on the head of the nail, however it goes.
We have yet to hit the mark.
We have yet to hit the mark on economic sanctions. We have yet to hit the mark on economic blackout. and we have yet to nail down punishing our enemy in the pocket. And so that's what we're working on right now. So I want to take this opportunity to invite all of those economic thinkers and planners and those who are serious about economic sanctions. And when we do blackouts and boycotts, that we have effective ways to reroute our people to blacked out. And all of those activists who are going to man the parking lots and man the sidewalks and start and run these campaigns to do the hard work well beyond what they did in Montgomery. Then if you about it, and you're ready to get busy and get serious, Malik Zulu Shabazz, your brother and your servant, is calling you right now.
I just have a question.
Reach out to us right now if you want to join. And you want to join this part of the movement that our coalition is called Black Agenda United, the Blackout. This part of our Blackout movement of a united coalition. You're an organizer. You're an activist. You say you're a leader. I'm going to give an email out. Contact me at attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. Join the think tank. Because come October the 10th, we want to be clear and specific. This is who we're moving on, and this is how we're moving on them, and this is why we're moving on them, and we stand as a united force. And we're going to punish them this holiday season. Punish our economic oppressors. Punish them down in Waller County, where they depend on the university that they racially profile, depending on that black university, Texas Southern University, I think, down there in Waller. Punishing them black college students. You're going to punish them. Well, they're going to punish you with this black dollar being taken away from them. See, we have in South Carolina, you're going to kill us? You think we're going to be satisfied with just you taking a flag down? Hell no. We're 47% of the population in the state. We'll shut you down.
Okay.
We'll shut you down, cracker.
Yeah. Okay. I've always been aware about lynchings and killings and things like that in the black race. But the news media, and I understand there's the internet, there's cable, there's satellite TV, just all these different ways of getting the news up. But sometimes I get the feeling, thinking, there's almost like they're trying to scare people. I mean, I can't explain, but to me, it seems like they're trying to scare people into being scared, you know, the news media.
On what point?
Okay, when I watch the news media, when I'm watching TV, they cover it, and I understand that they're covering it, but this has been going on since slavery. So I can't help but wonder if it has something to do with President Barack Obama being in office, but like I said, I've known it always went on, even though I'm from a small southern town, I still knew. Because I'm near Alabama, not very far from the Alabama state line. So this is really nothing new to me. But it seems like the news media just covering it. It's like it's for entertainment almost. I mean, I'm sorry to put it that way, but that's the way I'm feeling.
Well, let's look into it. Number one, it's two factors, I believe, and analyzing what you're saying, my sister. Number one is that we must recognize that technology is different today than yesterday. Your position and my position, we all understand that black people are being killed and abused by the police for decades and decades. But because there was no cell phone technology and ways to record it, other than rare instances like during the Rodney King situation, we had to take the word of the police officer because the dead man and dead woman couldn't speak. But now, through technology, through the white man's own technology, and those who created, not just white people, I mean all variety of technology in general, that has advanced to the point where you can't run and you can't hide. Not only we can't run, through GPS devices and tapping our phones and everything, Big Brother has become bigger than ever. Surveillance and monitoring has become a bigger police problem. Police surveillance and all that is a bigger problem. They're on this phone right now listening to every word I say, you know, and they're everywhere. But on the other hand, technology has also a two-edged sword. that not a civilian had the technology to film and record the police, and through so many disputes about what actually happened on the scene, now it's law in many or most all jurisdictions for cameras on police cars, and now body cameras are becoming mandatory. And now the people are starting to wear body cameras, and pigs are starting to get busted. And so I say this, they're getting busted. So a lot of the reason it's on the news, sisters, because of technology and people being able to give it to the news, because let's be honest, it makes salacious and good news. It makes heavy ratings. Don't you think CNN ain't getting big money when they running all that black stuff? They're not doing that because they love us. Controversy and death sells. And when they and all them police killing and murders and all that controversy is what CNN ratings have been built on over the last year, as they normally are getting creamed by Fox News. Because white cable America listening to them some Fox News, you watching CNN, white man watching Fox. Hello?
Yes, sir. That's true.
Fox,
that is
Fox,
true. I'm still here. Fox, I'm just listening.
Fox whoops CNN in ratings, even though Fox is favored really by the white right population. They have a more dedicated following. CNN is always changing hosts, changing shows. And so trust me, my dear sister, in many instances, them advertising rates that they charge per segment in their shows, they also benefit.
They also benefit, okay.
No good bastards. And I call CNN no good bastards because they are some no good bastards. I'd rather know where my enemy's coming from and Fox, with Fox, know that they're against me, than the slick, sly CNN. Because slick, sly CNN, I used to call and still call them CNGN, because it's still working for the devil, because they manipulate and try to control the message, making it appear there for black people. At the same time, they're manipulating and controlling white liberals that are absolute 100% goal is to stop the liberation struggle. So every time CNN goes on the ground in Ferguson, every time CNN or CNN go on the ground in Baltimore, go on the ground in South Carolina, go on the ground in these cities, they seek to squash the real revolutionary aspirations of the people. And they only want to put on Uncle Toms or conservatives. And everybody they own has to call for peace all the time, for peace, 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 peace my ass. If it's no justice, no peace, and murderers are walking free and people are getting killed, well, why the only people that get to come on CNN that get stamped by the white man calling for peace? CNN is a white slave master. CNN is a white slave master trying to control the black people and the black message. Old Sweetie Pie Don Lemon is a classic example. Old Sweetie Pie Anderson Cooper, a classic example. Both of them girls are dead wrong.
Okay. All right. So do you believe that the rise in all the hate crimes, I know you've heard of Mr. James Byrd that was dragged behind a truck about 10, 12 years ago by white supremacists. I know you've heard about that in Texas. Am I right?
I ain't heard about it. I was deeply involved in that case.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Deeply involved. I marched in Jasper, Texas with the New Black Panther Party locked and loaded, shotguns, fully armed, in that year, summer of 1998.
Okay. Do you think it is because President Obama is in office that they become worse? Or is it just, like I was saying earlier, it's always been there, it's just more known about because of technology?
Well, it's a couple of different reasons. It's mixed. Technology has brought it to light. That is true. And in many instances, it has become worse because there is actual white backlash. The data and the facts show that white backlash is real. The white Confederate flag carrying white man, the average arrogant white man who believes it's my country, it's my country, as the white man says. A white man who was a flight attendant, a flight attendant try to put me off an airplane, and that's all he could say. It's my plane. Get off my plane. So you got to understand, this white man is deeply arrogant. He's out of his mind. He thinks he owns and controls everything. So it's his country. And according to him, a black man or a so-called nigger has took his country, even though he took his country from the Indians. So he's an arrogant, one-sided, blinded person and type of mentality. Most of these white people, most of them, I mean, not all of them ain't, but most of them, many of them, far too many, and the ones that ain't can't affect the majority, so what difference
that's
do
true.
It make?
Yes,
the
sir.
Ones that you say doing good, and there's some trying to do good, but if they can't affect all the ones that's doing bad and they can't affect a system that's doing us wrong, well, what
right.
difference does the good make? It don't even make a difference. Thanks for trying, mm-hmm. buddy. Now, what I'm saying is this, my dear sister, is that it has getting worse. White backlash is worse. And there's white people out there that feel it's their country, and they're going into churches like Dylann Roof and killing people. And they're carrying out anti-black acts because in their rage, they see themselves losing their country. And they will.
Losing their country.
They see them losing their country because we ain't going to do nothing. If we can't take them physically, we're going to outbirth them. Because our birth rate is going to go much faster than that. As fast as we dying, we making some more. And they ain't making as more as nowhere near as fast as we making some more.
Okay.
So it's called the Browning of America. It's called the Republican Party cannot win an election. They cannot win an election because the math is stacked against them in terms of the racial number. And so it matters nothing with this idiot, this asshole, this jerk, this fool, and this tool, Donald Trump, America's new number one asshole. It makes no difference what Donald Trump says or what he does. He will never reach the nomination because the demographic, racial, and cultural map is against him, and it's against white males, and it's against the white man in general. So Donald Trump, he represents the last hope for the angry white man.
Yes.
He represents the angry white man and the white people that's been locked out. How ridiculous is that? This
yes.
fool is a multi-billionaire. He's a super fat, obnoxious, pus-filled, bloatation-faced, bloated billionaire cracker who has spent his life exploiting people and don't give a damn about nobody, but he's the champ for the working-class white man. That shows you how desperate this white man is in this day and hour when Donald Trump becomes your champion. And he represents that thinking and that mentality. They got their chest puffed out. They're going to take America back. They're going to take the border back. What border? Who established the border? How did you establish the border? Your goddamn stolen border. I mean, this stuff
yes,
is crazy, sis. We living in
yes.
the wildest
yes.
of times. It's technology.
Yes.
Let me get
yes.
clear and conclude with you. It's technology that's bringing it to light. It's hatred for a black president that's bringing it to light. But it's also a lesson for the black president who said that he was in a post-racial environment. This is a lesson for you, Mr. Obama. America, the same as she was. It's a message for you, Mr. Obama. They hate you so much, you even took a couple of steps backwards under your watch. Let you know, Mr. Obama, that the devil is still the devil, always was and will be. And you had to find out for yourself, deep from the inside out. They ain't changing. Straight up, we ain't got but two choices. We have but one choice here. Self-determination
okay.
and a self-determination and to build for ourselves. Or otherwise, we're going to get wiped out. It ain't no working this out, and it ain't no getting along.
Okay. As an attorney, Mr. Shabazz, I know you're over the, I believe I said you created the Black Lawyers for Justice. You're over that?
Yes.
I believe you started that. Okay, and I did say that you were the former leader of the Black Panthers, and you've been a leader for, I believe, 12 or 13 years, but you stepped down. There was a gentleman on my show. He's been on my little internet show several times. His name is Mr. James Costin, Jr., and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. he let me know about something that I wouldn't have ever thought of or known about. Because he's very intelligent, very, very intelligent man. And he said something, and as a lawyer, I'm wondering if you can do anything about it. He says that when black men and women are in prison, they work within the prison system. They don't make a whole lot, right? So they work for these corporations and companies. So when they get out of the prison system, if they go put in a job application with that same company that they work for a small amount, they don't hire them, they said, because they're felons. As a lawyer, is there any way you can address that?
That is primarily, my sister, a political issue.
Okay.
When you're talking about criminal background checks and what employers are used to be able to consider in hiring a person, that's a complex issue. It's certainly a issue of high concern in our community. And certainly it does involve lawyers when persons who are seeking employment are unfairly denied employment. But it's also even more complex than that. In certain cities and other areas, you have to become savvy and sophisticated enough to try to turn some of those laws around. Some of that has been done in the District of Columbia. In other instances here, we're talking about the broader problem. The broader problem here is the felonization of our people. This is something that Black Lawyers for Justice is going to deal with at our national summit, which will be on October the 9th, in Washington, D.C., at our national summit on America's injustice. Our national summit on America's injustice is going to deal heavily with remedies to the felonization of black men, because once you become felonized, there's so many fields out here to work in that involve either youth or children or certain kind of populations that if you're a business owner, you know, you can't really afford to take the legal risk of putting somebody in a position, because in many instances you may not be able to. Certain rules or restrictions you're under, depending on what you're contracting with, that
okay.
You cannot hire certain persons with either felonies within 10 years on their record or certain kind of violent felonies. But what I'm saying to you, my sister, is not really an easy answer. But the first step is we have to stop the felonization and the incarceration of black men. Getting the felony and getting into prison has to be at the top of the list, and it's got to be here, heavy, heavy, high rank here on October the 10th as we move into that. It's not necessarily my specific field,
yes,
but the team of staff and scientists and those that are working with Minister Farrakhan, and I'm going to be encouraging him that we have to get concrete in terms of ending the number of black men that are going to prison and the number of black men, and black men have to start listening. Black men have to stop being hard-headed, you know, and we as men in our community have to renew our efforts and renew our vows from the Million Man March. And there must be clear marching in the black community to reach the brothers that are going behind bars. We must make greater effort. And if we make greater effort, that means we can slow the tide. There are youth out there that want to be talked to. They're looking. There, some of them is out there hopeless, looking for somebody to talk to, looking for somebody to mentor. I'm not going to say that we have mentored enough. I'm not going to say that we've done enough outreach. So, Miss, I'm going to say this. As we move towards October 10th, we have to get deeper into the felonization question and the incarceration question.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to have to come out of that day with some substantive mentoring, some substantive black father, black community getting involved in fighting these problems.
Okay.
You know, then on the back end, you're dealing with city councils and laws and legislation and things that can be turned in our favor. Laws can be changed. And, of course, Black Lawyers for Justice and attorneys We're always ready to help people that are victims of employment discrimination in hiring and other areas. Of course, the lawyers have their role, and we will be ready to serve as the future rolls on, man.
So you do help people who have employment discrimination, sir? Is that what you just said? I want to make sure I heard you clearly.
Oh, certainly. I mean, we here at Black Lawyers for Justice, we are an affiliate network of attorneys who are affiliated with us throughout the United States of America and all areas of law do we service. I particularly am focused on constitutional law and civil rights and human rights violations and police misconduct cases and victims' rights cases and injury cases and appeals. But if it's employment discrimination, if it's issues behind bars, I mean, I do work on some issues of abuse behind bars, by police behind bars, but we have lawyers in every field. We're connected with the National Bar Association.
Yes, sir.
We have black lawyers that we're connected with around the country. So, yeah, I want to let y'all know, our website is blfjustice.org, blfjustice.org, and this is where you can reach us, and we'll try the best we can to either help you or route you in the right direction.
Yes, sir. Okay.
I got to run. I can't stay on too long.
Okay. Yes, sir. I just had one more question, and I'll do you believe there's a such thing as reverse discrimination? Because I don't believe that. I don't believe in reverse discrimination at all. Do you believe in that? Do you believe there's some truth there? Because I do not.
You have to have some power to practice so-called reverse discrimination. So
I know there's a couple of people sued a black university over the years, some Caucasians. I'm wondering how discrimination at a university, I don't get that.
There is no such thing as reverse discrimination. There is something called reparation, which is what we're striving for.
Reparation, yes.
Man, we're striving for reparations,
yes.
which I'm sure the white man don't like either. But no. We are striving, and our ultimate goal is for reparations.
Yes, sir.
For reparations.
Yes, sir, that's good.
And we cannot, I'm just saying, if a university, now you speak in the context of a university practicing reverse discrimination. All they're doing is practicing affirmative action program. And trying to make up the gap and the advantage that the white man has had on us so long because they cheated us so long. And so they started out so far ahead of us that in some of the admissions criteria, they would begin to factor the applicant's racial background and their economic background and other factors that pertain to them being African American, which is a historically stigmatized group. There's a certain legal status we have due to our condition as being slaves and ex-slaves and victims of Jim Crow here, which is the reason why a band-aid or a remedial remedy was created called affirmative action. So, no, I do not believe that that's reverse discrimination, nor do I believe it's effective reparation. And as we drive towards the future, not only will we want black college, but we will want much more than that.
I believe in reparations. I didn't find to understand reparations until about 2006. I went back to college to take up business administration in a neighboring town, a two-year college. And I got to researching and looking at things. And I did one of my essays on reparations because I dug deep into it in 2006. It explains a lot to me. It's amazing what education can do, you know, and what I learned. That's all I want to say was that I had studied about reparations, and I had read that it was a congressman or senator.
What city are you in?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm in Florida. I'm near the state line. Alabama.
I tell you what, we want to stay in touch with you because We want you to be part of our movement. You're a conscious broadcaster. And we have a coalition of like minds that believe in self-determination and reparations and all of that. And we would like you to be a part of our coalition so that your talents and your efforts can reach a wider audience.
Well,
we want to introduce
yes,
you to
sir.
All kind of guests.
Yes, sir. I just want to say this. I don't have a lot of money. I'm not hardly making any money off this show. I'm doing it because I want to make a difference. I want to do more than just talk about how bad things are. But I'm not making a lot. So if I have to travel and stuff, I won't be able to do it because I don't have a whole lot.
You ain't got it. That's the whole point of it, sister. You sit right where you are and do what you do. We'll help you get your radio show out. Obviously, you're passionate about communications. And
yes,
we have a lot to communicate. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have my assistant, Sister Hassani Muhammad, and maybe Sister Nisi, reach out to you. And so we're going to coordinate some things together. We want to help you build your radio show up, build your audience up. And there's some things that you can do for the movement so you can see your dreams of liberation become realized, okay?
Yes, sir, because I'm a grandmother also.
Good. We need you. We need you badly.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
It don't cost no money. We'll help you get some money, but it won't cost.
I'm just letting
money.
You know. I'm not trying to, you know, get rich. And I'm just letting you know. I don't have a whole lot of income to do traveling and things like that.
You coming
I'm
to
just
Washington?
Being honest.
You coming to D.C. right?
I'm gonna try to. I'm trying to
get you to D.C. What city? What city again? Alabama.
I'm near I'm in Chipley, Florida, sir.
I'm sorry.
I'm about 34. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I be moving in so many cities. So I say this, sister, you have to.
I'm not far from Dothan, where Mr. Al Sharpton
is from. How far are you from Jacksonville?
About 4 or 5 hours. About 4 hours.
You in the South?
I'm in Northwest Florida. I'm on the north side of Florida.
Northwest Florida.
Yes, sir.
We got some buses coming out of Florida. Is what I'm saying. We have some persons in several parts of northern Florida, and we got some buses that are coming out of Florida going to Washington D.C. And so we want to work with you. We're going to make it easy for you to get on the bus.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Maybe I can bring my mom too. My mom.
Huh?
Can I bring my mom too? My mama. Can she go too?
Your whole family.
My whole family.
And community. Okay. I'm going to put you in touch with James Muhammad. Brother named James Muhammad in Florida. He's going to contact you. And for others who are listening, you can contact our host here. And y'all in Florida that want to get on the bus, we got a couple of buses. We're going to try to make the fee as small as possible. Pay your fee. Get on the bus. Come to Washington. Get your liberation in and be ready. And if you join in with us and get on our bus for self-determination. Everybody that rides our buses is becoming part of our movement. And when they get back, they're going to become part of our movement for self-determination. And so...
Okay.
When you come back, ours is more like a transformative experience that for even those that are not initiated in the struggle, by the time they come back from Washington and finish our process with our self-determination buses, they will come back full-fledged soldiers in this war for justice and to free our people.
Yes, sir.
You know, so it's a transformative experience. God bless you, Queen. Stay in touch with me. Do this, please. Text me if you want to accept my offer. Text me back tonight at about 7 o'clock, and I'm going to put you in with Brother James Muhammad, and we'd love to organize with you so we can get our people some justice and get this enemy off our back, okay?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Love you. Black Power.
Yes, sir, Black Power. Thank you, Mr. Chabert. All right, everyone, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We had Mr. Malik Zulu Shabazz on Show Talk with Angela Butler. He's the former president of the Black Panthers for 12 or 13 years. He's also the president of Black Lawyers for Justice. He was telling you all how you get in touch with them, get some legal help. He talked about the Million Man March anniversary, October 10th in Washington, D.C. I believe that's where it's at. And also, he talked a little bit about the boycott. Thanksgiving, I believe it's Thanksgiving through Christmas. I think it is. So, you know, black dollars do count. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe black people can shut Wall Street down. And maybe then they'll pay us some attention and stop killing us and take us seriously. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Have a good night.